Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. We have a USFL update today. Just USFL hockey playoffs. NHL is in its second round right now, second round of the playoffs. And then we also, if we have time, discuss the final weekend of the regular season of college baseball as the conference tournaments start next week. So first we're going to start with USFL. And the looks like mid-season all-star team has been named. And here are some of the players on offense. We'll start with Jamar Smith of the Stallions, Kyle Sloter of the Breakers, both quarterbacks. So we're going to go by position by position here. Running backs, Mark Thompson of the Gamblers, Darius Victor of the Generals. The tight end, Sal Canella of the Breakers, Bug Howard of the Stars. Wide receiver, Jay Adams from the Breakers, Victor Bolden of the Stallions, and Trey Walker of the Maulers. Then we go to offensive line. For offensive line, we have Calvin Ashley of the Generals, Blake Camper of the Stars, Fred Laina of the Bandits, Nick Buchanan of the Gamblers, Jared Thomas, Breakers. On defense, edge rushers, Chris Odom of the Gamblers, edge, also another edge player, David Bellamy of the Breakers. Defensive tackle, Dalen Mack of the Bandits, Camilo Tongamoa of the Breakers. Inside linebacker, Donald Payne of the Gamblers, Jared Fernandez of the Breakers. Outside linebacker, Reggie Northrup of the Gamblers, DeMarcus Gates of the Stallions. Cornerbacks, Will Likely from the Gamblers, Channing Stribling of the Stars. And then at safety, Arnold Tarpley of the Maulers, Shalom Luani of the Generals. Kicker, Nick Vogel of the Gamblers. Vogel leads the league in scoring with 39 points and highest field goal percentage, 85 of any kicker to play more than one game this season. Oh, and then the punter is Brandon Wright of the Bandits. Wright is averaging 47.8 yards per punt, including a 76-yard punt. Wow. And he's put 9 of them inside the 20. So there's your midseason all-star team of the USFL. I was curious if they were going to name that, usually at the end of the year, if they were going to have some kind of all-star game. So we will get to the schedule right after we talk about, it looks like the XFL will be coming back after 3 years. News broke earlier this week that the XFL will begin play next February, at least they're scheduled to. February 18th, I believe, the week after the Super Bowl. And they will have, similar to what they had before in the USFL, a 10-game regular season, semifinals, and a championship game. So, given that the USFL started in April this year, assuming that they open in April of next year at the same time, there will be some kind of overlap between the two leagues as the XFL will go, I'm guessing, around the end of April. So it might be some kind of overlap. And it's nothing, there's no news right now. Nothing has been said about whether the USFL would adjust its starting time. And, of course, it's all speculation because we don't know anything about a year or two for the USFL at this point. So just want to let you know, if you're following the USFL and they're around next year, they're going to have some competition, possibly not direct competition at the same time, but around the same time of year. Now let's get to the schedule. There's going to be 2 games on Saturday and 2 games on Sunday, and it'll, again, be intra-division matchups. Thus far, the South leads the North 6-2, and the North made made some improvements last week. The first week, the South swept the North 4-0. Last week, you had a draw, 2-2. So overall, South leads 6-2. This week, you have four more interdivision games. So the Saturday games at noon, this is noon central, Tampa Bay and Philadelphia. Tampa Bay is at 3-2, Philadelphia 2-3. The spread on this is Tampa is a 3-point favorite, and the over-under on this is 39.5 points. The night game involves Michigan versus Birmingham. Michigan, of course, is 1-4, but they've been an improving 1-4 club. Well, Birmingham remains undefeated at 5-0. Birmingham is a 6.5-point favorite, over-under 37.5 points. The Sunday games, 11 a.m., involves Pittsburgh and New Orleans. Pittsburgh got its first win this past week. They're 1-4 versus New Orleans at 3-2. New Orleans currently holds the number two spot in the South, and they are an 8-point favorite, over-under 36 points. And then the late afternoon game will be Houston and New Jersey. New Jersey is a 7-point favorite. Currently, Houston's 1-4, last in the South. New Jersey is 4-1 and leads the North. The over-under here is 39 points. So, as far as the over-under goes, every time I've seen the over-under, or at least recently in the past few weeks, the teams go over that. So maybe bet on the over in some of these, with the exception of Pittsburgh, which does not score touchdowns on a regular basis. Houston also has scores in spurts. Well, they'll score points, and then they'll go a few drives without scoring at all or even getting first downs. So then the schedule on this, as we already said, so two games Saturday, two games Sunday, noon central on NBC, Tampa Bay, Philadelphia, 6:30 central, Michigan and Birmingham, also on NBC. On Sunday, 11 a.m., FS1 will be Pittsburgh and New Orleans. Then 3 o'clock on Fox will be Houston and New Jersey. I got to say that I would prefer some of these games to be later. I'm not into the 12 or 11 o'clock start. Typically on the weekends, I know I'm doing something, and other people are, I'm sure they're out at that time. So maybe a later starting time would make more sense, like a 2 or 3. I'm fine with the 6:30 start on Saturday. An evening game is nice. But an early game on Sunday, why not have a Sunday night game? Anyways, I think if for next season or even for later this year, I think Fox and NBC ought to try later starting times like the AAF and XFL have, which were both, I believe, 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock central starting times, or 4 and 7. And let's see, now jumping back to the XFL, there's rumors that the teams for next season, this is not confirmed, but 5 of the teams will be the same from 2020, and they'll include Houston, Dallas, D.C., St. Louis, and Seattle. With there's some rumors going around that the Tampa Bay team will be moved to Orlando, and that the L.A. team will be moved to Las Vegas. The other team I've also read could be San Antonio. Now, interesting to note that all those markets except for San Antonio have been prior XFL clubs. So that includes the first XFL from 2001. So a total of 16 clubs in 14 different markets. To the 2020 teams that will be not there or missing will be L.A., New York, or New Jersey, and the Tampa Bay team will be moved to Orlando. And remember that the original XFL did have an Orlando team and also had a Las Vegas team. The Orlando team in the 2001 league XFL actually had the best record. They were 8-2. I think they were the Orlando Rage. They had the best record in the league but lost in the semifinals. And the Las Vegas team, I believe they were the, I want to call them the Posse. Let me look that up. Let me make sure. I remember watching it years ago. They were the first. No, that's not the Posse. That was the CFL team. Actually, I don't know what the name of the team was called. But anyways, they had the first team, or the first game in XFL history back in 2001 at the old Sam Boyd Stadium. So let's see. Also, let's update you on the coaches. These are the coaches that have been hired by the XFL thus far. They haven't been assigned to any teams yet. But the the coaches are, well, these are the, at least they've been hired by the XFL. It doesn't say that they're necessarily coaches, but Reggie Barlow, who's a former NFL player, Terrell Buckley, another former NFL player, Bob Stoops, who was with the, obviously, the Sooners for many years. He was the Dallas Renegades coach in 2020. Also, the infamous Wade Phillips, longtime former Cowboy, Bronco, Ram, Bill, Falcon, Charger. I think he was with at least half the league as a coordinator. Rod Woodson, another former NFL great. Anthony Becht, who was an NFL player, I believe, with the Jets. Jim Haslett, who was the Saints coach before Sean Payton. And then Hines Ward, the former Pittsburgh Steelers standout. So those look to be the coaches. It's still not confirmed where the teams will be, which teams will be. Oh, I'm reading here. San Antonio was not among the 8 cities that hosted an XFL team in 2020, but had begun discussions with the XFL during the 2020 season. And previous to that, they did have a team in the Alliance of American Football, the San Antonio Commanders, in 2019. That team actually did fairly well. They were, I believe, 5-3, tied for the Western Conference lead, and their attendance was the tops in the Alliance of American Football, similar to the St. Louis Battlehawks, who were leading attendance in the XFL in 2020 before it shut down. So it's possible that San Antonio will be that 8th team. All right, so we're going to that's your USFL update. Again, 2 games Sunday, 2 games Saturday, and it's intra-division games. And we're at mid-season. So we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk NHL. So we'll be right back after this. All right, welcome back. Now, tonight we have the continuation of the second round of NHL playoffs. Tonight you'll have Tampa Bay on the road, not too far down the road, though. They're in, Sunrise, Florida, which is near Miami. So you have a Sunshine State battle there, the Tampa Bay Lightning versus the Florida Panthers. Tampa Bay won the first game 2 nights ago, 4-1, so they lead the series 1-0. And that game will be 7 o'clock Eastern on TNT as the Lightning try to win or go for their third straight Stanley Cup and 5th Stanley Cup Finals appearance overall. Well, Florida won its first playoff series since, this is hard to believe, since 1996. That was the year that they made it all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals versus the Avalanche. I saw that when they won the other night against the Capitals, and I thought, really? I can't believe that. It's been 26 seasons since they won a playoff series. But anyways, they're actually the President's Cup champions, so they've had the most. That means they had the most points in the regular season, best winning percentage. So that's your game tonight on TNT, followed by the St. Louis Blues at the Colorado Avalanche. The Colorado Avalanche won the first game in overtime 3-2 the other night, as they, like Tampa Bay, lead the series 1-0. Colorado Avalanche are the top-seeded team in the West. And I kind of looked up their history here, because I remember them being an NHL power years ago. I remember when I first started following the NHL, they had just moved from Quebec, and when they were the Quebec Nordiques, and then they moved to Colorado. And as we mentioned with Florida, the first season they were in Colorado, they faced the Panthers and they won the Stanley Cup. So they won the Stanley Cup their first year in the Mile High City. They also won again 5 years later and established themselves as sort of a dynasty for about a 10-year period there, 10 to maybe 15-year period between 1995 and 2003, where they won their division 9 straight years. They appeared in 6 Western Conference finals and advanced to the finals twice, winning both in a 5-year span. Now, since that time, since about, we'll say, the year that the league was locked down, I think there was no season. That was 2004-2005. The Avalanche were still good after that. I believe 06, 07, and 08, they made the playoffs. And after that, they sort of alternated non-playoff seasons with either winning or playoff seasons. In 2014, they had the top record in the West, but I believe they lost in the first round. They struggled a little bit after that in 15 and 16. 17, they missed the playoffs. And the past 5 years, they've actually been in the playoffs. They've been a playoff team, and they've been in sort of an ascending power, particularly in the past two seasons. The problem is they have not made a Western Conference final since, and this is hard to believe, in 20 years, since 2002. So this could be their year. But it's hard to believe, 20 years. It seems like every year they were going to the Western Conference finals, either against the Stars or the Red Wings or even St. Louis. So we'll see what happens. The last two seasons, last year they didn't have the Western-Eastern set up, but they won their conference, which was 8 teams last year, their group, and then this year they won their division again, so top seed again. Meanwhile, St. Louis, they won the Cup just 3 years ago. It seems like it's been longer than that, but it was just 3 years ago. After somewhat of a mediocre season in 2019, they came back and won the franchise's first Stanley Cup after many, many years of making the playoffs or coming close. So I think this will be a good battle. Colorado has a great offense, but St. Louis was able to contain them a little bit the other night and take them to overtime. The other two series, which started last night, the Carolina Hurricanes defeated the New York Rangers 3-2 in overtime, and they lead that series 1-0. The second game will be tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Eastern. Oh, by the way, the St. Louis-Colorado game tonight, it's scheduled at 9:30 Eastern. Sometimes there's a later start due to the first game going long. Also, last night, another game won, the Battle of Alberta. I'm sure it brings back a lot of memories for Canadian fans, Alberta fans, and fans from the 80s. Edmonton versus Calgary. Edmonton Calgary won last night. I believe it was that 9-7? Let's check the score on the 9-6. Wow. So at one point Calgary was up 6-2. Edmonton came back and tied, and then Calgary scored three more goals. So that was a offensive explosion there. 9-6, Calgary leads that series 1-0, and they're at home. That game is scheduled at 10:30 Eastern. So if you're on the East Coast or Central and you can stay up, more power to you. That's going to be, with all the scoring, that'll be a long game. Friday night, that is. That's Friday. So those are your four series. You have the Battle of Florida, the Battle of, I guess you could say, the Heartland there, St. Louis and Colorado, the Battle of Alberta, and then Carolina and the New York Rangers. All in all, shaping up to be a good Stanley Cup playoffs thus far. So we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we will talk some college baseball. We'll be right back after this. All right, welcome back. By the way, if you'd like to call in, our phone number for guests is 563-999-3409. And today we're talking, of course, USFL. There's some updates with it, particularly with the rival league, the XFL coming back, scheduled to come back next year. The second round of the NHL playoffs continue tonight. And college baseball, wrapping up its regular season this weekend. So let's get to college baseball. We're only going to have time to talk about two conferences right now. I know there's about 20-something, but let's focus on the SEC. So far, the standings, now, just to let you know, the SEC is divided into two divisions, just like in football. The top seed in the conference tournament, which starts next week, is Tennessee. They're at 22-5, so they've clinched the East and the top spot in the tournament. There's 14 teams in SEC baseball. The top 12 will make the tournament. So it looks like the teams that have punched their ticket already are Tennessee, and then in the East, Vanderbilt at 14-13, Georgia also at 14-13, Florida at 13-14. Over in the West, Texas A&M and Arkansas are both at 17-10, Auburn 15-11, LSU 14-13, Missouri 13-14. So there's five teams competing for the last three spots. So anybody with 13 wins or more are basically in. They've clinched their spot. The teams kind of on the outside right now are South Carolina at 12-15, Alabama 10-16, Kentucky 10-17. Let's see, and then Mississippi State, who were the defending College World Series champions, 9-18, and Missouri 8-19. So it looks like everybody but Missouri has an outside chance of getting in. South Carolina has the best chance with their win totals. But let's look at the schedule for this weekend. You have, to determine the Western Division, and most likely the number two seed in the tournament, A&M is on the road against Ole Miss. Arkansas is on the road against Alabama. So the winners, whoever wins the Western Division there will probably go on to be the number two seed in the tournament. All right, and then the teams that kind of have an outside chance here have South Carolina. They're on the road against Florida. Alabama, like we said, they're facing Arkansas, so they must win out to secure a spot in the SEC tournament. The other 10-win team is Kentucky. They're at home against Auburn. Mississippi State, they are facing Tennessee. Top seed of Tennessee. So Mississippi State must win out, and they must get help, assuming everyone else above them loses. Tennessee, not sure how they'll play this. They may rest some people. They've got everything clinched. They're probably, right at this point, they're looking for a number one ranking overall in the tournament, so maybe they'll play everybody. Who knows? So that's your SEC update. The other major conference I wanted to update you on was the Big 12. In that tournament, the top eight teams make the tournament, and there's only nine baseball teams in the Big 12. So currently, TCU owns the top spot at 16-8, followed by Texas Tech, 14-7. These are conference records, by the way. Oklahoma State is 13-8, followed by OU, 13-8. Texas and West Virginia follow them with 11-10 records. Kansas State, 8-13. Baylor, 6-15. Kansas, 4-17. So I guess it's possible that if Kansas wins out and Baylor loses out, Kansas would leapfrog Baylor. Not sure how likely that is. Kansas has been pretty terrible this season. So, like I said, now for TCU, they're playing a non-conference opponent this weekend. They're playing Santa Clara. So by winning, that will help their overall ranking or seeding, although Santa Clara is not too good of a team. But if TCU can run its overall record to 35-18, that will help their overall profile going into the conference tournament. If they win the conference tournament, if they go in as a top seed in the conference tournament, obviously winning more games in the conference tournament will help them. Now, the only scenario where they could lose out, on the top seed here, would be if Texas Tech, which is playing the Sooners, sweeps OU, that would leapfrog Texas Tech over TCU as the top seed. Also, if Oklahoma sweeps Texas Tech, I believe that would give Oklahoma the tiebreaker on that. Let's see how they did against TCU. Yeah, that would give Oklahoma the tiebreaker because TCU and Oklahoma would both end up at 16-8. But the Sooners took 2 of 3 from TCU a few weekends ago. And then there's Oklahoma State, which is playing Baylor this weekend. They lost 2 of 3 to TCU, so they can't win. They cannot win in a head-to-head against TCU. If there's three teams or more, we'll have to wait and see. I guess that's the bottom line: wait and see what happens. So, team with the top record in the Big 12 is Texas, currently at 36-17. However, they cannot get the top seed, but they can win the conference tournament, which is actually going to be at the Globe Life Park, the new Rangers ballpark, starting next week. So that should be interesting, and it's going to be indoors. So that's your update on college baseball, USFL, and NHL. If you'd like to call in, unfortunately, we don't have much time left, but I really hope you watch all those sports tonight and this weekend, particularly the USFL. I think there's an improved brand of football there that's being played, definitely from where they were in the first week, and I think it's just getting better. And by the way, All-Star midseason team of USFL, I didn't see Scooby Wright's name in there. I would have figured his name would be in there. He's had a decent season, although I think he was hurt last week. Not sure. Anyways, enjoy tonight's hockey games, this weekend's USFL and college baseball games. Have a good day. Bye-bye.